coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. Have I got a show for you? I've got a very, very special guest, a young man who I look up to this young man. I believe in everything he has done, is doing. And wait until you hear his story. Wait until you hear what's taking place. You know, I often complain that we as Christian conservatives are not doing enough. This man is doing, he's doing not only his share, but a lot of our share. He's, he was formerly a member of the House of Delegates in West Virginia for the 19th District. His name, of course, is Derek Evans, 38 years old. And he went to the Capitol on January 6th. We're going to show you a video here shortly about that. But he went to stand up for what is proper, what is right constitutionally and morally, spiritually. He stood up for your right, my right, or your rights, my rights. He stood in the gap and made his voice known. He was also, while there, he also cautioned people to keep it peaceful, to not destroy anything. And for his efforts, and folks, you know how I feel about the events of January 6th, for his efforts. He spent a few months in jail. He was arrested on January 8th, and in March of 2022. It's difficult for me to talk about this because it's an emotional subject because our country's at stake. But in March of 2022, he was forced, literally forced, to plead guilty to a felony charge of civil disorder. And he was sentenced to 90 days in jail. And, of course, 3 years of, you know, parole. It's just for his actions. Now, what did he do? He stood in the gap. He stood up for the American citizens to say, wait a second, let's take a pause. Let's look into the irregularities that we know exist with respect to the election. And for doing so, he was politically persecuted by this cognitively impaired Biden regime set up by Obama and by the previous holder. You've got to connect the dots on this. So this man has been through hell and back, just like Owen Schroyer right now. Derek Evans spent some time in solitary. And look, I've been to Attica, I've been to Rikers as a visitor, okay? None of that is, there's nothing good about that. And when you're in solitary, it's even worse. But for what he did for the American people, he spent time in prison. And if you do a search on him, Google, whatever, it's one of the most upsetting, in my view, upsetting portrayals of an American patriot. I said all of that because I am very passionate about the future and fate of our country. But I'm also very hopeful because of Derek Evans and men like Derek and women like Derek Evans. I'm hopeful for the future of our country. We need more Derek Evans. Derek Evans is running for the House of Representatives in West Virginia. Now, I was talking to him prior to airtime, and I said that we have West Virginia covered AM stations, pretty much the entire state. I think the entire state. We have this program airs on one station or another. So if you are in West Virginia and you are listening to this broadcast, if you're in your car, pull over, listen. If you're in West Virginia, if you're watching this and you're driving, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. But if you're watching this, or if you, whatever, I want you to share this with everyone you know. The most important thing that you and I have to do is make sure this man, Derek Evans, gets to be elected to the House of U.S. House of Representatives. That's our mission today. Folks, if I was, that's your homework assignment, is to get this man elected. Hey, support him. Man, you know, look, send him whatever you can send him in terms of financial support for his campaign. And I'm not a big, look, I don't like to send, I don't really send politicians in quotation marks, but this man's not a politician. I don't send politicians money, but I will support this man. I guarantee you, I will put my money where my mouth is, and you can ask him after this program airs if I did that, and I'm sure his answer will be yes. Support this man if you're in West Virginia or elsewhere. If you're a patriot, support him. Pass this video along to everyone you know, this interview, because what this man stands for is what you and I stand for. We have a video that is from his campaign site, his website. And folks, write this down. It'll be in the program description notes at HagmanPI.com. But write this down. Evans, the number 4, WV.com. That's Evans for West Virginia.com, but it's Evans, E-V-A-N-S, the number 4, WV.com. It's not that hard. You can remember it. And even if you pass the video that we're about to show you, even if you just pass that along and don't, if you don't like me and don't like, get this man elected. We need this man in office because he's been through the hell. He's been through the political persecution. Now it's our turn, I believe. More after the video here, and then we'll bring Mr. Evans on. I'm so absolutely excited to have him on. Go ahead and Eric the Tech, let's show the video.
I'm the only elected legislator in the entire country to be arrested for peacefully and patriotically protesting the stolen election on January 6th. Here's my video. Check it out for yourself.
We're in. We're in. Derek Evans is in the Capitol.
Destruction of anything. No vandalizing property. No vandalizing. Hey, no vandalizing. No vandalizing. All right. No vandalizing.
Because of what you saw in that video, I was ultimately facing 24 years in prison. To make a long story short, I had an 18-month legal battle. I did 3 months in federal prison, and I did 8 days of solitary confinement because I refused the COVID vaccine while they were holding me hostage. All of that because the illegitimate Biden regime stole the election from President Trump and the American people, and I had the courage to exercise my natural God-given rights of free speech to stand up and peacefully and patriotically protest the stolen election. On January 6th, and at the time of my arrest, I'd just been elected to the West Virginia State House. Obviously, I'm out of prison now. Instead of running for my old seat in the state house, I decided that I was going to run for U.S. Congress because I'm going to take this battle to their front door the same way they brought it to mine. Look, we're right now in a battle for the future of this country. This is not a time for weak politicians. This is not a time for patty cake politics. We need America first patriots, America first fighters who are willing to stand up and actually fight to save America. I look forward to pushing President Trump's America first policies in Congress, and I look forward to standing beside a President Trump on the national stage as we beat the drum of freedom, not only for my district here in West Virginia, but for every single God-fearing American conservative across this country. Thank you guys for taking the time to watch this video. Thank you for sharing it. God bless you guys, and God bless the United States of America.
That, of course, was Derek Evans. That's the man with me on right now for this interview before I bring Mr. Evans on. And soon I hope to be able to say the Honorable Derek Evans. I can say that now because he is honorable, but his official preface for the House of Representatives, I believe this man can win. I believe that he will win with our support. Get behind him. This is not a campaign commercial because, look, I realize that there are no political solutions to spiritual problems, but this is a start. Compare and contrast what you saw there with what we saw for a year and a half, 2 years of this crap. Look at that. That's BLM and Antifa, $2 billion during the summer of love. And do you think any of these people have gone to jail? Do you think any of these people have seen justice? No. You stand up for your rights and you are automatically politically persecuted. Do you understand, folks? Do you understand how far down this road of injustice we are? I asked him before he before air. I said, "What made you plead guilty to civil disorder?" And he said, "Because they came after me. They bankrupted me." I mean, if you've never been on the side of political persecution on the receiving end. In using the intelligence community as well as the different forces within the intel community as well as police forces, you have no idea what kind of hell they can make your life. This man is married with four children. His youngest was five at the time. His one of his children was five at the time, seven now. And hey, you know what? You have to live to fight another day. But I'm going to tell everyone out there something. I'm going to tell you this, folks. I've said this before. I don't believe that we went far enough on January 6th. That's not to say about violence or anything. I'm talking about the task. The task at hand was to have Congress pause, look at the evidence, and reevaluate their certification of a stolen election, because remember, stolen election has consequences. Okay, and this one has had severe consequences. Look where we're at today. This man, Derek Evans, can change everything. I'm not going to go further, because if I do, I'm going to blow a gasket. I can feel it coming. So let's bring Mr. Evans on. Mr. Evans, thank you so very much for joining me, and thanks for your patience as I went through my mini tirade there.
Oh no, thank you so much. The honor is mine. I'm so happy to be here on the Hagmann Report. I've watched your show multiple times. I'm a fan, so it's pretty cool to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. And you know, I believe you can win. Let me start by asking this before we get into anything else. What can people do? What do you need us to do to get you into the House of Representatives?
Yeah, well, first I want to talk about the we can win. This is I'm so blessed and so fortunate. I live in one of the reddest districts in the entire country, one of the most MAGA districts in the entire country. We have not spent a single dollar campaigning yet, and we're already polling at 45%. It's the closest race in the country in terms of someone challenging an incumbent in the primary. So this is definitely a viable campaign. And then in terms of helping us out, you can go to our website, evansforwv.com. You can make a donation if you want to do that. If you live in another part of the state and you want to volunteer, you want a phone bank or text or anything like that, you can sign up. You can join our team there, and we'll have someone on our team reach out to you. We've got hundreds of people who have signed up to volunteer from all across the country who's going to phone bank for us and help us out. And that's truly more valuable than you could realize. You can follow me on social media, share our content, and get that out there so that other people will see it. And then most importantly, add us to your prayers. Add my family and I to your prayers. This is spiritual warfare right now of good versus evil, and we're going to need all the prayers we can get.
Amen to that. And, you know, I did research about you before you came on, and before the invitation went out. I've got to say this. Folks, of all the really, this man has not changed at all. Okay, he's been a Christian conservative. He's been a man of character, of integrity, all of his life, as far back as I researched. And I'm very proud that you are picking up that taking the mantle of leadership. Of attempted leadership by going into the House of Representatives. You're really, right now, you're in your prime, and I believe you can win, like you said. Okay. I believe it's there. We can go in like 1,000 different directions. You tell me, first of all, reassure me and the people out there, once you get elected, you're not going to change your attitude, your stripes, your intent. You are going to stay the man you are right now. You can't be bought. You can't be haggled with at all. Or you can be haggled with, but you're not going to change your objectives. Is that? Will you reassure me of that and our audience of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. I actually get asked that a lot, and I think it's a fair question. The American people, patriots across this country, have been burned so many times by somebody coming along and saying the right things, and then they get up there and they just turn into another spineless jellyback rhino whose only objective is to get reelected. I was already elected once before. I didn't, turn into a politician then. I'm the only elected legislator in the entire country to be arrested for January 6th. So think about that. All the people who ran on President Trump's, coattails across the country who claimed that they were going to, stand up and do the right thing. Well, when it actually came time to do something, they were busy sending out fundraising emails. They were too busy posting on Twitter and Facebook about, look at me. This is what I stand for. And I decided to go stand with the American people. And I'm going to continue doing that. And I want to make it very clear. I never had any intentions of running for federal office. In West Virginia, we have what we call citizen legislators. It's a 60-day session. It's January and February, and that's really about it. And so it's citizen legislators. And so that was a perfect for me because I was able to be involved in politics. I was able to still be a husband and a father and, coach soccer and youth basketball and youth football and just be there for my children, be there for my family. And I wanted to protect my family from the nastiness of national politics with the media and everything. But on January 8th, all that changed when they came to my house and ripped not only me away from my family, but they drugged my family and I into the swamp, into the depths of this nasty, evil swamp. You can't even put it into words how corrupt this place is. And, I looked around. There was very few Republicans, if any, who were willing to stand up and continue this fight and willing to help us out. And so I looked around and I said, no one else, the weaponization of government is a major issue right now. And no one else really understands this on a personal issue. I want to use this experience and go in there. And really, I'm not running to make friends. I'm running to kick in the front door and expose corruption. And I think that's very important right now in our country. I have no intentions of running and going there and saying, how do I get reelected? I'm running because we're in a battle for the future of this country. And I tell everyone, yesterday was a January 6th political prisoner such as myself. Today, they're going after President Trump, parents who speak out at school board meetings, pro-life activists. But tomorrow, if they get away with all this tomorrow, they're going to come after every single Christian across this country. And we already saw a taste of that. They actually arrested Christians in this country for going to church during COVID. And so they've already tested that out. That's the end game. And I'm going to stand up and fight with everything in me to prevent this from happening.
Wow. Wow. What was it like? Give me some idea. When you decided to go to the Capitol on January 6th, first of all, what made you decide to do that? I guess you kind of answered that insofar as, hey, you're a man of action, you're a man for the people. So you decided to become involved. And did you ever expect to get that knock on the door or the door slammed in the days that followed especially with your stature as being a member of the House of Delegates for West Virginia. What was that like?
Well, it's funny, you know, I'd always been politically actively involved. It's one of the main reasons that people elected me in my district. I was the first Republican to win my district in 98 years. I won a landslide victory. And that was because, you know, I used to, as you had alluded to earlier, I used to stand outside of our local abortion clinic and offer women other options. I used to, when Antifa and BLM came to my local area, it was actually in Kentucky, but I live on the border, it's still my immediate area. I went and stood face to face with them, outnumbered, and said, I'm not going to stand here and let you just destroy our community. And people saw that. And so that's who I was. What's ironic about January 6th is I almost didn't go. We just came out of a very grueling campaign. My wife was 9 months pregnant at the time. I had three kids at the time, and my wife was 9 months pregnant. And so we almost didn't go. But then people were reaching out to me and you know, the people who just elected me. And you know, they were so heartbroken and tore up with the stolen election. And, you know, I did what everybody else did. I signed on to an amicus brief. I signed this petition or whatever. And I made a post on social media. But it was just really eating at me, keeping me up at night. And you know, my wife and I, we prayed about it. We discussed it. And I said, you know, I promised these people that I wasn't just a politician who's going to make posts, that I was going to stand with the American people. I was going to stand for them. I was going to be a voice for them. And I have to go. Like, I have to do this. And she was like, I agree 100%. Like, you have to do this. So I went there that day, not only exercising, you know, my natural God-given rights of free speech and being a voice for myself. I was there representing the roughly 40 to 50,000 people I had just been elected to represent. And you know, something I want to make very clear, I think it's important that I'm sure your audience knows this, but I think it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. It's important for people to remember that our rights do not come from the government. Our rights, we have natural God-given rights. Our rights come from God, our creator. And so I wasn't there, you know, with a constitutionally protected thing. It is protected by the Constitution, but I was there exercising my natural God-given rights. And the Constitution was written for one reason, really, and one reason alone, and that was to prevent the government from infringing on our natural God-given rights. I think that gets lost sometimes.
You know something? You are one of the very few people that I have heard that get that. It's the Constitution was created to restrict government activities, to keep them out of our lives, keep government out of our lives, as opposed to granting us rights, which are God-given rights. And you're one of the very few people, especially running for office, that really, I think, really get that. And thank you for that. That makes a whole lot of sense. After January 6th, after you got back, presumably you got back to your home in West Virginia. What happened then?
Well, you know, they cut off cell phone service. I live streamed everything that day for the record. I had a big following on social media. As soon as I clicked the end on the live stream of that video you guys saw there earlier, I had over a million views instantly. And I didn't think nothing of it. That was something pretty common for me. And then they shut down cell phone service immediately after that. And so I was out of cell phone service. We're driving back to West Virginia. I'm getting back in cell phone service, and my phone is just blowing up, and it's media from all over the country. You know, and I'm used to the state media, the local media always bashing me for being a conservative. But this was different. This was, you know, CNN, NBC, all these places. And at first I thought, oh, wow, they must have saw my video. They think it's pretty cool that I was there. This is awesome. And then I started seeing the videos from the other side of the building. I was on the east side, and most of the quote-unquote violence or whatever people saw was on the west side of the building. So I didn't know any of those things had happened that day. I started seeing those videos surfacing on social media, and then I instantly realized they think I was with that crowd, or that I did some of those actions. They're not reaching out to me. You know, you can never trust the media. We know that. And so I didn't respond to them. And then by the time I got home, like really early January 7th, by the time I really got home at that time, I was all over all the national TV. I mean, the late night talk shows were discussing me. I was all over every major media outlet there was. And I had a local attorney, someone that I knew who was like, hey, I think you're fine, but let's just go ahead and you know, I'll retain you I'll go ahead and reach out to the FBI and just let them know, hey, if you want this guy, you know, he's an elected official, he's not a harm, he's got a family, just give us a call. We'll come down to the station if you have any questions. It's more of a precautionary thing. And, you know, I did kind of wonder just because I was all over the media, but my friends and family was like, dude, we saw your video. You didn't do anything wrong. This doesn't happen to people. You know, the media can't prosecute you. And so I was like, yeah, I mean, you're correct. And then on January 8th, even despite the fact that we had already reached out to them and said, hey, if you need me, I'll come down and answer questions, if you will. They raided my home on January 8th. And the kicker is that the part that bothers me the most is, like I said, I had three kids at the time. My wife was literally 9 months pregnant. She was going to her final doctor's appointment. We were going to have our child, like, you know, a couple weeks later, our fourth child. They told me they've been watching my home throughout the day. They told me they watched my wife leave the home. They knew I was home alone with three children ages 5 and under, and they decided that was a good opportunity, I suppose, to come and rip me away from my family. The media showed up, and about 15 minutes later, the feds rolled in. And, you know, it was heartbreaking. It was really hard to leave my children like that. And it traumatized them for quite a bit. It was an interesting time in my life for sure.
You know, it always amazes me. We talked briefly before the show. And one thing I don't do, and people who've been watching me for a long time know this. I don't like to do a lot of pre-interview, off air discussion, because to me that takes a lot of things away from the on-air honesty. So because none of this is scripted, but this is a reoccurring theme I've been hearing. Obviously they could have done things a whole lot different than how they did it, what they did to you. And this smacks of the both the political persecution that occurred back in the early 1900s or the 1930s, the show trials as well. But I look at this and it breaks my heart to see a once great country succumb to this kind of activity. Did they take you before? Did you testify before the January 6th committee? Were you subpoenaed for that, or was that something different?
No, actually, I did not. And you know what's crazy about when they first raided my home? I was arrested originally on two misdemeanor charges, and then they added two more misdemeanor charges, and then they ended up adding the 1512 obstruction official proceeding, which is a 20-year felony, so I was facing 24 years. So it was proof that they found the person. And then they investigated and tried to find crimes to fit that person, if you will. But no, I was pretty silent during those 18 months of my legal battle. But I definitely reached out and actually told them, hey, I would be more than willing to come in and share the truth about January 6th to this sham committee that you're having. But they didn't want to have me in there because they knew that I wasn't going to push their narrative. I was going to share the truth about that day. So they wouldn't have me come in. But I was willing to do it then, and I'm still willing to do it now if the Republican-controlled House would like to actually get to the bottom of that as well.
You know, folks, I ask you as a personal favor to me and this platform to remember the name Derek Evans. To remember and mark down the website evans4 wv.com and to support this young man, because we need him. We folks, I'm telling you, we need him. This is not a campaign commercial, okay? It really isn't. This is bigger than that. This man, in at least again in my view, and I preface it by saying in my view, because I would never want to hurt Mr. Evans in any way, shape, or form. What he's attempting to do to improve our lives in this country, but in my view, I think that Mr. Evans has paid a very steep price for things that were contrived in this Fed insurrection. By the way, you were there on January 6th. Is Fed insurrection, you know, the feds and the plants that were there, would you say that's an accurate statement, description of events?
Oh, it's 100% accurate, and that's the reason they don't want to release the January 6th footage to the public. They don't want to release the tapes to the public. Not only to the public, they don't even release it to the defendants. I've never seen the exculpatory evidence that I was supposed to be given under the Brady Rule. We got people sitting in prison who haven't even seen the tapes themselves, let alone the public. But they don't want to release that. because just from some of the footage that's trickled out through the trials so far, you know, some of this footage gets out there. We've already caught these police officers in multiple lies. They've already found people who have ties to the feds. And so that's why they're trying to suppress that. And here's what I always leave. You know, I travel the country speaking and sharing my January 6th story and answering questions and warning people about the weaponization of government. And I'm so privileged and honored to be able to do that. But one of the things I always leave people when it comes to releasing the January 6th footage is, when have you, I mean, so myself and the other January 6th prisoners and family members, we want the footage released to the public. So when have you ever known a group of quote unquote criminals who are saying and begging, please release the footage of the crimes that we committed to the war for the world to see that? But on the other hand, you have the government who is saying, these are terrible people, they're domestic terrorists, you can't watch it for yourselves, you just have to trust us and take our word for it. So that's the comparison that you have on each side of that. I would leave it to the American people to say which group is lying.
Amen to that. Yeah, by the way, do you have any, do you believe that the footage will be released under this new Speaker of the House? Do you believe any of the footage will be released to the public so we can all see the tens of thousands of hours? Will that happen, do you believe?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I really am. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but I am cautiously optimistic. I mean, I know that Speaker Johnson has said that, and you know, he seems like a great person in terms of his faith and conservative. And to me, in some ways, he might be overly honest with the public on some issues. And he said that he would. So we'll see. I just hope that he understands that when we say we want it released to the public, we want it released to the public, not, you know, a select few journalists who and there's nothing, I mean, nothing against the people who had access to that, but not, we want it released to the public. Open source this. The taxpayers own that footage. We're the ones that pay for that, and it needs to be out there so we can get some full transparency, and so that the American people, they can sift through that, they can go through that and look at it all they want, however they want to, and start coming to their own conclusions. But we're talking roughly 44,000 hours that we know of footage that's being held, not only from the American people, but from the defendants. And some other footage that no one really discusses is, if you think back to January 8th, the day that I was arrested, that was also the great purge on social media. That's when they banned so many conservatives across this country without any warning on social media. Think of the thousands of hours, hundreds of thousands of hours, probably, of January 6th footage that normal citizens had recorded and live streamed on Facebook and Twitter and other platforms that got wiped out of there as well. So we have, there's so much footage that the American people need to have access to make their own opinion.
Amen to that. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think transparency, 100% transparency is needed. And, you know, I've been involved in a lot of trials myself in my profession. And I've never seen anything like this before in my life where you have this obvious violation of the Brady Rule. You've got this obvious violation of the accused rights, the rights of the accused, and the weaponized government going after you. I this is on my heart too. How is your wife and how are your children handling things now? And especially now that you're seeking office, a higher office, because I'm thinking if I were in your shoes, and being married and having a family, which, you know, I have a family and I'm married. How do they feel about what you are doing right now? And how are they feeling about what you did on January 6th? I think that's an important question to ask.
Well, first of all, thank you for asking that question. I don't think it's on purpose, but I think the American people, and we put a lot of focus on the January 6th prisoners, and rightfully so, but I think that the families kind of get lost in the shuffle. It's very difficult, not only for, maybe in some ways, might be more difficult for the family members. You know, I know that I would personally rather go through some perseverance and deal with hardships than watch someone that I love go through that. So in some aspects, it's probably harder on some of the family members watching the person that they love and care about the most go through that. You know, look, in terms of January 6th, they've seen the video. They know. They know my character. They know who I am. My family knows that. You know, I didn't do anything to deserve the way that I've been treated throughout all this, and neither did my family, for that matter. In terms of running for office, you know, it was a hard decision. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I went to my wife and said, hey, we need to pray about this. We need to discuss this. This is kind of what I'm thinking. And at first, she was like, no, I don't want any part of this right now. I just got out of prison. Not going to lie. And so I went to an event. She came with me, and it was just really sharing the story of January 6th. It was like in the last midterm elections. I had just got out of prison, and I got out of prison on Friday, and I was knocking doors for conservatives on Monday. But she heard me speak, and she realized just how powerful not only this message is, but that the truth isn't out there, and that people, you know, need to hear it. And then when she realized that no one else was really helping us out. And she started thinking about it from that perspective. She prayed on it quite a bit. And she came to me one day, just out of the blue, and she said, "Let's do it." I said, "Are you saying what I think you're saying?" She said, "Let's do it." And I'll tell you why. I am kind of speaking for her, but this is more for me as well. My biggest fear, and I think it's her biggest fear as well, is that not what they can do to me again. They've already kind of put us through about almost everything they could do to us. But that's not my fear in terms of the retaliation and what they can do to me. I have no fear of that. I've already went through that, and we already know that going through any adversity is always easier the second time around. So I'm not worried about that at all. My biggest fear is that I'm going to be 70 to 80 years old, and our generation in this moment, we've kicked this can down the road because we didn't have the courage to stand up and fight this tyranny today. And I'm going to be 70 to 80 years old, and I'm going to watch my children and grandchildren be forced to pick up and fight this battle that I didn't have the courage to do so. That is my biggest fear. So every day I wake up, and I put my kids to bed every single night, knowing that I'm doing everything that I can to preserve and maintain and give them the individual freedoms and liberties that they deserve to have in what's supposed to be the greatest country in the history of the world. And so that's what motivates me. The other thing that motivates me is I know that this government attempted to use myself and the other January 6th prisoners as a form of basically an example, wanted to put fear into the American people and say, look, if you want to stand up to what we're doing, this is how you're going to be treated. You should sit down, shut up, and accept the tyranny that we're rolling out. I can't get the time back with my family. I can't get back all the money we've lost. I can't get back, you know, all the emotional turmoil that my family and I have went through. But what I can do is I can wake up every single day and say, you know what? I refuse to allow them to use me as that example to put fear into other Americans. So that's another reason I speak out, is I want to show the American people that, you know, look, I'm just a country boy from southern West Virginia, just an average guy. I took one on the chin from one of the most powerful, corrupt governments in the history of the world. I got up, I dusted my britches off, I started smiling again, and I said, you know what, I'm still standing, and I'm still fighting to save America. And if I'm willing and able to do that, then so can you.
You know, you are a man of integrity, you're a man of great character, and you're a fighter, and I like that. And I also admire, and please share this with your wife and even your children, I admire them for backing you and for doing the right thing and for understanding the what's at stake here. I mean, folks, if you're watching this as opposed to listening to this, or if you're listening to this, go to Hagmann PI, HagmannPI.com, click on the link to today's program description, the title, and take a look at this picture. That's his family. See, this is who we're fighting for. It's not you and me necessarily. Well, it is, but look at the faces of the children. Look at the faces of the innocents. By the way, what a beautiful family you have. But this is who we're fighting for. I look at my grandchildren. I'm thinking, this isn't about me. I'm going to be dead. But I can't leave this mess for them, and that's what I do. I'm not going to give away anything. But watching Alex Jones yesterday, and he walked off. He walked off the set. I've had enough because of what they are doing to him. This man has been victimized in more ways than he'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you, but I'll say this. You talk about getting canceled, getting persecuted. It's real. And I never thought in my 60 plus years, I know that it's hard to believe I'm over 60, but I never thought I'd ever see this. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for deciding to do what you're doing and to get in the fight. Thank you. And thank you. And I know that your wife and children know why you're doing it. And I thank them. Please thank them from me as well, from Well and from Eric the Tech and from all of us, because you are you're doing a great service. Make sure they know that their sacrifice, both previous and current, is recognized and appreciated. Will you do that for us?
I absolutely will. And you have no idea how much I appreciate that, because people don't think about that side of things. You know, my family is still making sacrifices, not only, you know, getting debanked and canceled and just, you know, and my wife was never really an outspoken political person. You know, she's a conservative, but she's not somebody who ever gets involved in that. She's like, I'll leave that to you type of thing. But she's been drugged in the middle of this as well. And talking about the sacrifices that they make, you know, the last 2 weeks, for instance, you know, I was at Mar-a-Lago 2 weeks ago. I came home for like 2 days, flew back down to Palm Beach for the walkaway event, which was an amazing event. I got home Sunday, well, I guess early Monday morning.
Brandon? Did you talk
to him? Yeah.
Yeah, I was with him in D.C. a couple of years ago. Interesting man, good man.
He is. And so I got home about 2 a.m. on Monday and went to bed, got up at 6:30 in the morning just so I could take my kids to school so I could see them that day, because yes. And then on Monday, I drove to Ohio to speak at another event. So, you know, they're making a lot of sacrifices in terms of not being able to see me as much as they would want to. And, you know, my kids are finally getting over the PTSD a little bit. So you got to remember, my children are young. Yep. They don't fully understand everything that has happened. I've protected their innocent minds from that as much as possible. So when I went away to prison, we just told them that you know, hey, daddy's going out of town for work for a little bit. Well, the first time I had traveled since January 6th after I got out of prison was when I went to CPAC and spoke last, I think it was February. And I'll never forget this. I hadn't really thought a whole lot about it. So it's just amazing, you know, how much kids remember and how things affect them, even if you don't realize it. And so I told them, hey, you know, they were like, where are you going? And I said, daddy's just going out of town for work. It's no big deal. You know, I'll be back. And so the first day I was at CPAC, I get a text message from my wife, and she says, listen, and I get emotional thinking about it. She's like, I know you're really busy, but I need you to make some time to FaceTime with the kids as soon as you possibly can, because they are petrified. They're scared to death that you're not coming home, because in their head, the last time that I went out of town for work, I 3 months to a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old is might as well be 30 years, you know? Yeah. And so they didn't know where I was at or if I was coming back anytime soon. And I hadn't really thought about that. So now I specify, I'm not going out of town for work. I'm going out to speak with people or something. You know, I try to use different verbiage, but you know, my family's, and look, the PTSD, man, I don't think enough people really discuss this. I'm open about it. I think it's important to be transparent. And maybe somebody's watching it. Maybe they're doing some form. Maybe it's not January 6th or something else. But maybe they're dealing with some trauma in their life, and they know it's okay to discuss that. But we're almost 3 years after the FBI raided my home. If I get an unexpected knock on my door or pound on my door, my heart drops instantly. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, are they coming back again? You know, and so my family's dealt with that. My kids have dealt with that for the longest time. My kids were afraid of police officers, because their only interaction with police officers and men in uniform like that was them coming and ripping their dad away as they're screaming and crying and leaving them there, because my wife wasn't even home. My neighbors had to come over and sit with my children while they put me in the back of a cruiser cuffed and took me off. And so it's been a process in terms of, you know, re-strengthening to my children that they're the good guys. And then they're like, you know, then my oldest is like, well, does that mean you're a bad guy? And I'm like, well, no, that's not what that means. So, you know, there's a work in progress there. There's a lot that goes in with, especially when you have a family. And so I thank you for asking about them. I really appreciate that.
Well, they deserve a lot of love and understanding. And look, I get this for reasons people will never know. I understand exactly what families, what children, what wives go through in situations like that. Again, make sure you tell your wife how much she is appreciated, as well as your children. Give them a hug, and daddy will be back. Now, let me ask you about other media personalities. Have you been in contact with other media personalities? Have you been well-received, especially the so-called conservative media outlets? Have you been well-received? Have you been ignored? Tell me about it. If there's
a lot to... No, there's a lot to tell there, actually. So when I was first going to break my silence, let me preface this first saying this. There, January 6th specifically, anyways, I kind of talk about it in pre-Trump getting arrested and post-Trump getting arrested, because before Trump got arrested, we were taboo, we were toxic. None of the very few conservative people wanted to discuss us, or if they did, they didn't want to have us on the show and give us an opportunity to share our own story and our own voices. After Trump, they've been a lot more receptive to that, and I think that, as unfortunate it is that that's happened to President Trump, that kind of made us more mainstream, if you will, and people kind of more started to see the true weaponization that's going on, because if they can do this to a president, they can do it to anyone. But when I first broke my silence, I was planning to break my silence after getting I was waiting to get sentenced because I didn't want the judge to use that against me. We'd start reaching out to media people, and Brett Baer of Fox News, and I don't care to say this, I haven't really talked about this publicly, so I'm actually sharing this here with you guys. Brett Baer of Fox News wanted the exclusive, and we agreed to the exclusive with Brett Baer of Fox News. And then right before, like the day or 2 days before, they pulled the rug out from underneath of it. I've heard other January Sixers who were pretty high profile as well, who got treated the same way. But the Fox Corporation people did not want to have January 6th people on their network sharing their story. So fortunately, Newsmax had reached out. I was Greg Kelly opened up his show, had me on with him. I've been on Newsmax multiple times since then. OAN has been great, and then obviously a lot of alternative media and really what I consider the true media out there. People such as yourself have been very receptive, and I appreciate you and thank you for allowing us to share our stories with you and your audience, and I'm truly grateful for it.
You know, we need to get Tucker Carlson. Has he reached out to you yet?
No, I've not been on Tucker. Obviously, that would be amazing, especially yeah. Now that he has his own thing over at Twitter. You don't have to worry about being canceled or anything. But yeah, I would love to do that. And look, I say this all the time. I'll speak with anyone. If they want to have me on The View, I'll go on The View and spit facts to them all day long. I don't care. I'll go share this truth with anyone who's willing to have me on. I don't have to agree with them. And, you know, I'd love to actually go on a show. As crazy as it sounds, I'd love to go on there and get a new audience of people to actually hear the truth and know what's really going on in this country.
Boy, I'd want to be there if that ever happened, because that would be great. Do you think, and this is, when you are a member of Congress, and I say that with all of the prayerful authority I have, when you are a member of Congress, I guess I'm switching gears now. What are your plans? What do you plan on doing to the extent you can as a junior member of Congress? What's your agenda going to look like as a congressman?
Well, first of all, I want to make it very clear that no matter what, I will never vote for anything that compromises the Constitution or goes against my Christian moral values and beliefs. I don't care how good it sounds or how well they sugarcoat it. If it goes against my Christianity or against the Constitution, I'm not going to support it. I said that the last time I ran for state house and had people, you know, bring up all the separation of church and state. And I said, that's fine. If you don't want to vote for me because of that, go vote for the other guy. I don't care. That is no compromise issues right there. I will never vote for anything that goes against those things. Obviously, you know, we can talk about securing the border and unleashing American energy across this country right now that's being suppressed, which would also in turn help our economy and the inflation that we're experiencing right now. But I mean, I think one of the biggest things really is the border. We're being invaded right now. It's an invasion on the southern border. I think we need to send in the military, the National Guard, whoever, and treat this like the invasion that it really is. And so those are some easy things to talk about. I want to defund and abolish these three-letter agencies that have these unelected bureaucrats running our countries from behind the scenes right now. Our national debt is out of control. I think that's a matter of national security. Securing our election, obviously, is a matter of national security. I'm endorsed by Mike Lindell, General Flynn, Veterans for Trump. So I'm proud of those endorsements. But look, there you go. You guys brought it up there. Like, you know, these are all things that are really important to me. Obviously, repealing Section 230, that's allowing the China-owned big tech companies to censor conservatives across this country. We need that digital bill of rights that President Trump discusses. But, you know, we got to end this weaponization of government. We got to have some accountability. And I know it's never going to pass, but I would support defunding and abolishing the FBI, the ATF, the you know, the EPA. All these agencies are unconstitutional, and all we're doing by propping them up is we're continuing to fund the bureaucrats that are pushing the tyranny out on the states. I believe that the states can handle that. We got to get the power back to the states, the local communities, and you and me and we the people, so that we can hold our representatives more accountable.
You know, if we had 218 Derek Evans in the House and 51 Derek Evans in the Senate, we can do a lot. These things can be accomplished. But folks, that's why it's so important. Please take a post-it note. Write this on your refrigerator, on the post-it note, not in your refrigerator. Yeah, you can do it with a Sharpie in there. But Derek Evans for Congress. We need him in Congress. His website, Evans4WV.com. And please join the movement to get him in office and donate heavily. Support this man. And when you're there, look at the faces of his children. Understand what's at stake. Look at his wife's face. Understand what is at stake. The most precious and the most vulnerable among us. That's what this fight is about. And Derek Evans stands high, head and shoulders above many, many, many people right now. And he's out there. He's fighting for us. He will fight for us. You know, I don't believe, I speak with Gerald Celente frequently, and he calls himself a political atheist. I get that. But at some point, you've got to put your faith in people like yourself, who say, look, I'm going to fight for you, and ultimately do. And I think you will. You know, I really do.
And we need to lift the financial burden off his family.
Yes, folks, did you hear that? That's Eric the Tech chiming in very well. And we need to lift the financial burden off of his family, off of him and his family. Because, by the way, being arrested and then being put on trial is not a cheap date. I can, you know, I don't want to get into anything personal, but I'm sure that pushed you to the brink of bankruptcy, as well as even the current things that are happening against you, where you're being canceled all over the place because of what you stand for.
Absolutely, it did, and it's you know, it's part of it, unfortunately, but that's their goal, is to bankrupt you and to come after you and to basically leave you with nothing left to fight. But you know what they can't do is take our voice away from us. They can't take our courage away from us. They can't take you know, our ambitions and our passion. They can't take those things away from us. They can't take our love of God and love of our country away from us. And so that's, you know, that's what I try to, you know, build myself around every single day. And try to stay grounded. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say this. In a weird way, it's going to sound crazy, but in a weird way, I'm very thankful for the experience that I went through. You know, I can sit here. Some people look at things negative. I try to find the positive in everything. Even in solitary confinement, I was finding positive things to focus on and to keep myself grounded. And that's a story for another day. But when I say that I'm thankful for this experience, sitting in solitary confinement is by far the closest I've ever been to God. It strengthened my relationship with God. And, you know, it also has made me a better parent. So there's times right now I hear my children, you know, they're crying, or they're fussy, or they're fighting with each other and arguing, you know, as kids tend to do. Or they want me to, hey, come play cars, come color with me or something. And I'm tired. You know, I always tell myself, dude, when you were sitting in solitary confinement, you would say you didn't care where you were at. You didn't care what you were doing. You didn't care how, you know, what kind of mood they were in. All you wanted to do was be with your babies. All you wanted to do is be with your children. And so I continue to remind myself of that. So it doesn't matter how tired I am. When my little girl says, hey, will you come color in the coloring book with me? I get up and I go color in the coloring book and embrace that. When my little boy wants me to play cards, I do the same thing. When they're fussy, I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just so thankful to have them and to be able to hold them and to let them know that I love them and I'm proud of them. Because I'll just tell you, I get emotional thinking about it. There was a moment when I was facing 24 years in prison. I thought I was going to miss out on my entire the entire life of my children. And that is something that no words can explain what that does to you and how that makes you feel and just what you're facing in that moment. And so it's made me a better parent. It's made me a better husband. It's made me a better Christian and a better person overall. So in a weird way, I'm very thankful for that experience.
When you hear those, you know, it's one thing, folks, to talk about it. It's another thing, in at least from my experience, to go through it. And with what Derek Evans went through during his time in solitary confinement, it's really inexplicable. It's very difficult to explain. But I'll tell you something. I think he came through not just stronger, but incredibly stronger, and even more focused. So I admire him, and I admire his entire family. I've got to say that, folks. I really, 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 please spread this everywhere with everyone you know. Derek Evans for Congress, Evans, the number 4WV.com. Please get that out there. In the remaining few minutes we have left, the floor is yours. Whatever you want to say to the American people, whatever you want to say to the people who are watching this in Australia, New Zealand, elsewhere, Canada, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, first of all, people to other countries, I just want you to know that the American people, you're a patriot in another country and you're standing up to tyranny over there. You might feel that you're alone, but just know there's patriots over here in America who are watching, and we're standing with you and we're in this fight with you. And I think that's important for people to know that. And I got that from Katie Hopkins over the weekend at the walkaway thing. You know, she made sure that the American people knew that there were patriots there in the UK who are standing with us. And it really hit home to me. And I want you guys to know, you know, in your small town or wherever you're at, and you go to these events sometimes and you're wondering, why are there not more people here? Why are there only 10, 15 people here involved? I don't want you to look around and think about it that way. I want you to look around and realize that there's 10 to 15 people in multiple rooms all across this country who believe the way that you do and are willing to stand up and fight for this country. There are a lot more people out there than what we realize. The other thing I want to leave you with is once again, to not be fearful. We are in a battle for the future of this country right now. I hear a lot of people saying, I'd love to speak out, but I don't want to be put on a list. Guess what? You have Rumble. You've ever engaged with a social media meme of some sort to support President Trump or God or Christianity. You're already on a list. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And then you'll find that out. I mean, in my charging documents from January 6th, you can go look it up. Some of the worst things they have on me is I was sharing memes that said hashtag stop the steal or Trump won or I chanted freedom, as you guys saw in the video. They literally used that against me because I chanted freedom and USA at the Capitol on January 6th. So you're already on a list. That's okay. But you have to understand that our founding fathers were, in my opinion, they were genius, and they put the First Amendment first for a reason. It's the most powerful, peaceful thing that we have to exercise. So you got to be bold. It's okay to be fearful. Okay. Courage comes when you actually stand and face fear and still do the correct thing. Jesus was fearful. Jesus prayed and said, Lord, let this cup pass me over. Jesus was afraid. That's okay. If he's the most amazing person ever walked the face of this earth, and he had fear. Having fear is normal. But what do you do when you face that fear? And we owe it to our children, our grandchildren, and future generations to face that fear, be bold, be courageous, speak out, and exercise our natural God-given rights of free speech until we're blue in the face.
Man, I don't think there could be a more perfect statement than that and a more perfect wrap-up than that. I do tell my grandchildren, don't fear fear, face fear, because that's what we need to do. Understand fear is a normal thing. And you mentioned about already being on a list. It's mind-blowing to think that Douglas Mackey, a guy who just simply retweeted a meme about Hillary Clinton, was just sentenced to 7 months in prison for exercising his free speech in America. This is in America. Folks, we need to fix this. We need to fix this. And in order to fix this, the gentleman you see on your screen, Derek Evans, Derek Evans can be a part of the solution. And I really stand behind Mr. Evans. I admire him. I admire his family. He's got a lot of integrity. And I do hope that everyone watching this and listening to this will, in fact, support him, stand behind him, and lift him up, both in prayer, financially, as well as financially. And with your vote, where appropriate, hey, vote early, vote often, do like the Dems do. But let's get him in Congress. Mr. Evans, will you come back and visit with me at some point?
Oh, I would love to do that. The honor would be mine. You guys just let us know when you'd like to have us back, and we'll come back anytime.
Okay. All right. God bless you, my friend. I thank you for your gracious gift of time. I know the people out there who may never have heard of you now know who you are, what you stand for, and that you're fighting not just for yourself, of course, for your family, but for all of us. And we really appreciate that. We really do.
Absolutely. I want the American people to know this is not just my campaign. This is the campaign of the American people. If you're someone who's frustrated with the lack of representation from the Republicans right now in Congress, and we don't think there's enough of them, you can get behind our campaign no matter where you're from, because I'm going to stand on the national stage and beat the drum of freedom for every single God-fearing American Christian across this country.
Derek Evans, thank you so very much. May God bless you, and may God protect you today and in the coming days. Thank you so very much, folks. That'll do it. Have a great day. Make sure you share this with everyone you know. Stand behind this man. God bless.